WKRP Live with Cedric Miller has a desire to transport their listeners to a world of thought upon issues like Christian values, the appeal of Christianity, contracts with God, tenement stories, and so much more. Cedric Miller will be interviewing up-and-coming gospel artists, pastors and community leaders, and people just like you. We're going to figure out, together, what the heck is really going on in society today. It's an open forum, and call-ins are encouraged, so tune in and become a part of the discussion at the global table, where all points of view are considered.
Ah, yeah, and we are live. Hi, I am Cedric Miller, and you're listening to WKRP Live. And guess what, people? We have a great, great guest today. He's a man, a legendary gospel artist. His name is Reverend Andrew Cheer. And I thank God for him being able to accept this interview, you know, and I'm just on cloud nine right about now. And I, as soon as we can, we're going to bring him in, but I want to do these, I want to do a quick commercial promo. The War Room cast will be coming to Montgomery, Alabama on the 27th through the 28th. It's called the Prayer Strategy Revival, and it's going to be a True Word of Life church in Montgomery, Alabama. And we will be there. Yes, WKRP, I will be there live, my wife, and just a host. It's sponsored by the Bryant Traveling, Vacation Traveling Company. It's Apostle Bryant, Deborah Bryant, and Bishop Bryant. And if you would, everyone come out and see this cast. It's going to be just a prayerful time in the Lord, and we're going to have great things. God is going to, we're believing God to move. And also, I want to talk about Hayden's towing. He has a towing company here in Shorter, Alabama. If your car goes under, he's the man to call. He'll come from here to Atlanta, wherever you are, Hayden will come. His telephone number is 334-727-1215. That's 334-727-1215. And also, Montgomery, that's a church where they just believe what miracles can happen. Not in Montgomery, but in Hainesville, Alabama. And it's called Southview Worship Center. And the pastor is Pastor Carl Bell. He believes in the power of God and just anointed. You come in one way, but you're leaving out another. So you go in, and miracles are happening there in Hainesville, Alabama, Southview Worship Center. And I thank you for that time. Now, let's go ahead and talk to the man of the hour, Mr. Andrew, Reverend Andrew Cheer. Sir, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Brother Miller. How you doing, sir?
Sir, I am blessed. I am blessed. Like I said, I'm blessed to have you here. And I believe for Mother's Day, you were doing a concert in Mississippi. Am I right?
Yes, sir. We were in Tulsa on that Saturday, and that Sunday afternoon, we were in Greenville, Mississippi. Yes, sir.
Oh, that is so awesome, man. I know you guys had a lovely time, a lovely time. Well, Reverend, I just want you to tell my listeners as well as myself, you know, how you had the call of the Lord on your life, you know, to start your ministry, and just let us know, you know, how God has been blessing you through it, the ins and the outs, you know, of ministry life and also in the recording life that God has blessed you with also. Being a gospel
artist. Brother Miller, that's a testimony because we all have a story. I was rebellious concerning preaching the gospel. But God, He summons me in 89, not realizing that preachers are not actually called, they're chosen. So if God chooses you to do something, you're going to do it whether you like it or not. So I was a little bit rebellious, but he put me in line. And, of course, now I be pastoring 27 years this coming June. And I thank God for it. Thank God for the blessing. And he has done miraculous things for my ministry as far as the preacher's concerned. And I was asked the other day, Reverend Cheers, how do you do that? And I just follow the format of what God has set for us. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and then these right. things will be added unto you. My job is to preach the gospel, and singing is a gift and talent that God has given me, which he will elevate in his own due time the way he wanted to be done.
Amen.
So that's where I am with the ministry, and I think it should be a ministry instead of entertainment.
Now, that is correct. Now, that is so correct. Well, at this present time, Dr. Cheers, how do you feel like other churches should maybe do things differently than what we're doing now? Because it seems like, you know, there's a lot going on in it. And, you know, I know there's different protocols for different people, but I know that we all still serve one God, you know, and I believe in, you know, I just want to hear from you. How do you feel about what the church should be doing now?
Okay, Reverend Miller, let me do this, because it may be a little bit contrary to the format, the
no,
ways that a lot of people are doing things. But I think mm-hmm. the only way to be about real church is just following the word of God. Not your
Amen.
Word, not take the word of God and twist it to mm-hmm. fit you. But you must line up with the word of God. And your church
Amen.
Must line up with the word of God. Now, what has happened is, instead of us taking the church to the world, we have allowed the world to come into the church.
Amen.
And yes, sir, we've allowed the world to come into the church. Because I share this with you. As a gospel singing artist, we worked hard in the latter 80s, in the early 90s to go secular, because we saw secular music drawing a whole lot of attention and making a whole lot of money. But
yeah.
now, but watch this. Once we got over there with them, we practically lost our audience, because the realness in gospel music it evaporated. And
yeah.
now a person would rather go see Anthony Hamilton than they go see Kirk Franklin. So that's what happened when we allowed the world to be more prevalent to us than we did the gospel. And so that's just my opinion. And I think a lot of people don't see it, but we couldn't compete with the secular world. They had all the radio, they had all the TV, they got all the movies, they got everything. So we couldn't compete. So why go over there? Why even try to stay with what you got? Because we're losing our base to the secular world.
That is true.
Absolutely. We're losing our base to the secular world, but it's happened only because we flirted with the secular world. We wanted to be over there because we like what it brought to us. Samson never would have wound up in the dungeon if he had listened to his mom. His mom told him, said, leave the Philistine women alone. You don't need to be over there.
Yeah.
The Israelites has women. Why is it that you got to be over there with the Philistines?
Rebellion.
Absolutely. And what happened? He wound up in the dungeon.
That's true.
Likewise, that's where we are. We're losing the essence of real Christianity. You stay in Alabama, Montgomery.
Yes, sir.
I stay in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some things that goes on in our churches, not in Montgomery and in Mississippi, that we never thought would have happened.
Yes, sir.
No.
That's true.
And it wouldn't have been accepted. But we accept it now because it's glamorous to us. It looks exciting. But the problem is though, at the end of the day, the only thing that's supposed to be glamorous and exciting to us is God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Other than that, nothing else is supposed to excite us.
That is so true. But Do you also believe that it's because of maybe people want the popularity and as well as the financial gain out of it as well?
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
That's the main reason why they went secular. That's the main reason why they went secular. They wanted the money and the glamour. But you cannot make a name for yourself through the name of Jesus. If it ain't about Jesus, it ain't going to happen.
You're right. I believe it. I'm a true believer. Right.
Especially if it's in gospel.
Yes, sir.
If it's in gospel, it's not going to happen. And we're trying to make it happen, but it's not.
Yeah.
If you notice, they don't recognize none of us on the Grammys. If you get far enough to win one, they call it inspiration. They won't even call it gospel. Well, anything can inspire you. I can get drunk and get inspired. Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, but we don't even call it gospel.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes, sir.
Someone that knows you by far, he told me to give a shout out to you. His name is Cedric Burnett. He worked long years ago with Delta, with the radio station WXCI in my garage.
Where is Cedric?
Cedric, he is working with Trinity Broadcasting Network. My brother. Yeah.
Really?
He is. And he also has a radio program as well. He does that.
Okay.
But he told me to make sure I mentioned his name. And I did
it. Yes, sir. we go back a ways. Yeah, I need Cedric's contact.
I will. At the end of the show, I will make sure I will give it.
Yes, sir. I need his contact. I need to reach out to him. You all do know I'm doing a new CD. I wrote a song called "A Prayer for Time Like These."
Okay.
And I don't know how big the song is going to be, but the message is in the music.
That's right. We got to stay in touch. I'm gonna let my listeners know it too when it comes out. So everybody.
Yes, sir. We're working on the single now, and I'm gonna do a 2-part single. I'm gonna send out 2 songs on this single. I'm gonna release that. A Prayer for Time Like These in conjunction with a Lord Let Your Holy Ghost Fall on Me.
All right, then. I can't wait to hear it. You heard it here live, people. Reverend Andrew Cheers has a new single coming out. I want to be one of the first ones, I believe, to get it. Yeah, because I am such a big fan. I remember you when you came in. My wife, her name is Elena Miller, and you came to Fort Deposit, Alabama. You and it was awesome.
Right. It's been a minute ago. Yes, sir.
That's right. It was on the Mountaineers program. Yes, sir. I remember.
Right. It's been a minute ago. Yeah. Alabama has been real good to me and my group, my family. And for those that's listening, I want to share with you all that we really appreciate it. Me and my sisters, we're probably all the oldest group. The only group that have the original members as long. Okay. We've been at this 58 years, and we still have the same original group. And I just want to share this with you all that's listening. I thank God for every day of it because we are well up in age. I'm 69 now, and the devil tried to steal my life 3 times, and he wasn't able to do it. 3 major car accidents. So thinking of that is there could have been a lot of things that I could have lost, one of the girls or myself. But God has blessed us, and we're still together. And that's, I don't know how many other groups can say that they have the same members for this number of years. I know Brother Spencer Taylor has been singing longer than us, but they don't have the same members. We have the same members that we started out with when we were 11 years old.
Same one. Look at God.
Man, yes, sir.
Is, That is so awesome. That's such a blessing.
That's not but a blessing.
Yes, sir.
All of the Lord can do that.
That's right. Only God.
Yeah, it wasn't nothing.
God's favor on your life.
Yes, sir. It wasn't nothing that we done so spectacular. It wasn't because we were so good. It was just God's grace. Yes, sir.
Remember.
By the grace. Yes, sir.
Okay, Reverend, we're gonna take our first commercial break right about now and let you all listen to one of his great inspiring songs, which I love myself. I was gonna let you introduce it, Mr. Chizzy. If God will provide. It looks like I've already said it, but I'll let you do it.
Yes, sir. Well, that'll work.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'll be back. WCRP Live.
I know y'all remember this one.
Back live, WKRP, and my, as you've heard the music, a legendary guest, Reverend Andrew Chizzy. Oh man, such an amazing man, just an anointed song. Every time I hear that song, it just makes me want to shout. Reverend,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir, man. I gotta tell you, man, when I first listened to your songs and your music, I'm like, who is that? My God. It just makes you, yes, sir, it is just awesome. And I thank you for so much the contribution you've done for the gospel, man, you know, because you could have went, like you said, stayed on over to the circle of where did you say, but God called you to a higher calling than that, to preach his gospel, you know, which I think
yes,
is a blessing.
Yeah.
I really do. And about the songbird, tell me something about them, you know, which a lot of people don't know your group. Yeah, now you said that's your sister?
Two of them is my sisters, and the other one is my first cousin, which is somewhat like my sister, because she spent a lot of her time at our house and she did her own. And,
yes, sir.
And, we go back a long ways. Two sisters' children we raised up together. And God has really blessed me. I have a twin sister in that bunch. Angelina is my twin sister. And, of course, Patricia is my baby sister. Priscilla is the middle of the girl that sang the first soprano. So we just been together a long time. And we tight. Cousins and sisters and brothers ain't like that, like we are. You know, it used to be a time you were just close as a family. It's not that way no more.
No, it's not.
The devil has gotten busy, and he knows how to destroy the family. But you got cousins that don't even know their own cousin. They're right at the same time.
But
we were a family that spent family together, Christmas together, Thanksgiving together, 4th of July together. We were together. If one had 50 cents, the other one had a quarter. So that's the way it was. And I tell you something, Brother Miller, I think that one of the problems that we lost, the reason why we lost the bond that we had years ago, is survival. Mm-hmm. People don't have to do what they had to do then to survive.
Yes,
used to be a time you had to be together to survive.
Yes, sir.
And nowadays, you got young ladies talking about they don't need no husband.
Oh, yeah, that's
which they
so
probably, true. Which they probably don't because, you know, they do pretty good by themselves. So, but a man is needed in a woman's life just like a woman is needed in a man's life.
Oh, I believe that.
Oh, yes, sir. It that's definitely true. See, when we get to the point where we think we don't need no man or woman, and try to substitute, then other things come into play. So, therefore, we leaving. You know, Brother Miller, one of the biggest hang-ups that most of us as Christians have is this thing called traditions. We don't want to do what Big Mama did. But there's some things that Big Mama did was right.
Yes, sir.
Big Mama taught her daughter how to cook. Because when you get mad, girl, she didn't say married. She said, when you get mad, girl, you got to cook for your husband.
Yes,
but now the restaurant gets most of our money. Because we don't do no cooking. Our young girls don't know how to cook.
Yeah. So thank God for my things. I have a great wife. She cooks. I thank God for my wife. She knows how to cook. Yes, Lord.
Well, I've been had one now.
Yes, sir.
I've been had one now for 34 years.
That's
and I thank God for her.
Amen.
Yeah, I thank God for her. But what I was trying to say is that we want to get away from traditions. Yeah. But I messed around and looked up the word tradition. And I think it says a practice, a principle, something that has been carried out from generation to generation.
Yes.
I believe that's right, right?
Yeah, I believe so. The wording is right, yeah. It might have
okay. So if that's a tradition, something that has been carried out and practiced down through the years and everything, then Christianity.
That's true.
Would be a tradition, but we decided to change it. But what we fail to realize, the person that we really actually worship, he is a tradition. Because Jesus said himself, I am the same today as I was on yesterday and forevermore.
Yeah,
he said, for I change it. Sir?
Yes, sir. Come on now. I said, come on. You doing right. That's it.
For I change it not. So don't make Jesus a tradition.
That's right.
He's the same today as he was on yesterday.
Amen. Yes, he is.
And our biggest problem is we want to change Jesus, though. We want Jesus to fit us instead of lining up behind him and following him. We want to take what he got to offer, but make it be our thing.
You're right, sir. You know, sometimes we do that. And sometimes we have some pastors and different that if you don't know the word for yourself, some people will lead you astray. No, in the word.
That's how the devil get involved in it. Because the word of God is profound. It needs no help. The word of God don't need no help. It means what it says. It can stand on what it says. It don't need no help. It don't need no help. All we supposed to do is deliver it.
That's true.
It don't need no help. You can't dress up the word of God.
No, you can't, so you cannot. You're right.
It's more powerful than us. You can't dress up the word of God.
No, you can't, sir.
Now, if you don't understand some of the things that God is saying, just say that. But don't try to dress it up and fix it and twist it and make it be what you want it to be. God is omnipotent, omnipresent. He's beyond any adjectives that we can describe, that we can give out, any adjective. If we say God is awesome, then he's more awesome than awesome because your mind cannot even go to the level as to where God is.
Amen to that. You are so right.
No man's mind can do that.
That's
if
right.
You say he's great, he's greater than great.
He
and we use that phrase a lot. He's good. But he's better than good. My wife's good. That's why I done had it for 34 years. But she ain't like right. God to me.
Well,
hello?
All right. Yeah, I hear you.
Because he's better than good. There are some things that we need to, you know, when the Babylonians took the Israelites into slavery and they tore up the city of Jerusalem, Nehemiah was summoned to go back and restore the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible, that's why most of the preachers preach about stay on the wall.
Uh-huh.
And restoring it, if you get ready to build a house, and inside the frame of the house, if you just bring your lumber and bricks and stuff and put it there, somebody can break in there and get it. So while you're building the city, you got to build a wall around the city to keep the enemies
right.
out. And that's why Nehemiah did not come off the wall, because he knew that the wall had to be built in order to keep the enemies out. And what people don't quite understand is this. In the midst of our ruin, we still have to have that protection around us. And that's God. We already messed up.
Yeah.
As mankind and men and women, we already messed up. But we need that wall around us so we can try to get straightened out.
Yes, sir.
You know, yeah, we need the Lord to put that wall around us so we can work at trying to get straightened out. Because whoever you are right now that's listening, yeah, you got some messed up things going on with you. I don't care who you are.
Amen.
Whether it's your son or daughter, it may not be you directly, but it's something messed up, and you need that wall of protection around you and so you can work to straighten that out. Because it's bad when you already got problems within the area, and then here the enemy breaks in and causes more problems.
Yes, it is.
So you need that wall, you know. So I have no problem with tradition. Big Mama's prayers
I said, I understand. Big Mama's prayers, they do something. They move. The Lord makes the Lord.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Because guess what? That's what we're living on and lingering with right now, is Big Mama's prayers. A lot of things. Big Mama says, baby, you don't need to have no baby out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Big Mama, you did. Yeah, that's why I'm telling you not to do it. I knew the situation and know what the problem was with me. So there's some things that Big Mama did and tried to get us to see, even though she came, turn on a computer. Google cannot tell you how to love.
That's right.
Find it on Google. You might find the word love, but find how to love on Google.
I hear you, Reverend Sears. I hear you. Let me ask you another question. Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Right. Is it, how do you feel about, now this is me personally, and I was asking another pastor, about the church as for saying, you know, the Bible says, you know, you go through the highways, the hedges, the highways, the byways, compel man to Christ. But it looks like now the churches are just, they're ministering to the ones that are already there. You know, instead of us getting out and going and talking to people's neighbor and neighborhoods or wherever they can be, you know, just to talk to people in dark. Some people.
But Brother Miller, that's a tradition that we want to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is diminishing because we want to get rid of that, see. That's a tradition that we wanted to get rid of because we're satisfied with what we have and what's going on. But when the Bible said go into the highways and hedges and compel men and women to come to Christ, do you know what that word compel does not mean? To whoop nobody side the head or drag nobody to the church.
That's
right. It means to go into the highways and hedges and live this life. Live this life, and if you live this life, somebody gonna see your living and want to become a part.
Amen.
That's what it means by compelling men and women to come to church. You know, if you got a grown son or daughter, you can't make neither one of them come to church if they're grown.
That's right.
But you can live in the front of them where they'll say, wait a minute. I got to be going wrong because look at how things are going with mom and daddy. Your living is the compelling aspect.
Yes.
It's your living. It's your living. When you live in the front of man and woman in the community, in the highways and hedges, regardless of what go on, they need to be able to see Jesus through you and in you. Then they'll want to be a part.
That is correct. That is so true. And I believe that because the reason why I brought that up, because I was just seeing how, you know, how other that they saw sectors are different, like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, different people. I just see them rapidly going, and they'd be at stores handing out pamphlets and different things. I was like, I look, Lord, now, we as Christians, I'm like, it's not the mission. These people are doing it. Why aren't we ourselves out there doing the same thing? Not beating anybody over the head. Just tell them about Christ, Jesus. Because so many people are going through darkness right now. They're going through dark periods. And, you know, they feel like they had no way out. They need to hear words.
Brother Miller, the problem is this. We're not even compelling in our own home because we don't live in the front of our own children and around our own community well enough for somebody to want to come and be a part. If you did that, you would change some things. And so that's what the Lord wants us to do. Go into the highways and hedges and compel men and women to come to Christ. He wants us to go into the highways and hedges and live a lifestyle whereas people would want to be a part of us. They would like what they see and want to be a part.
Yeah.
But we're not doing that no more. We're excited of the glamour. The name recognition, and if we make it all about us, Jesus said the other day, if any man should come after me, let him first deny himself. You can't remove yourself out the way. Everything is about you. You're going to make it about you. And I'm talking about preachers. I ain't talking about just singers. I'm talking about preachers. You can't acknowledge when you're wrong. You know, you're always right. You're never always right. Ain't nobody never always right.
So true.
We won't acknowledge that. So these things is what stop us from compelling men and women to come to Christ because they see this kind of lifestyle. They say, well, heck, man, I don't have to go to church. Look at him. Look at how he lives. He's a big liar. Keeping up confusion. Why should I go to church? Yeah, he sang on Sunday. He preached on Sunday. But look at his lifestyle afterward.
That's true. You're right about that. That would make a person.
So why should I go to church?
You're right. I guess we got to get it right before we can do it. That's the truth. We have to be that light. Have to be that light in dark place.
None but the righteous. It didn't say perfect then. It said none but the righteous. Chelsea, God. If you're not right, see, God knows our flaws. He knows where we're at. But we must recognize our flaws and do the best we can to correct them.
Yes, sir.
And our living is the compelling aspect. You can't talk about this. You got to live this.
That's true.
This is not done by your conversation. You talk to anybody in the world right now, and they'll tell, when they get through talking, they're going to still let you know that they think they're all right. So it ain't going to matter what you say. If you talk to them long enough, they're going to try to prove to you that they're all right. But at the end of the day, your living is what speaks to for you. It's not what you say. And you ain't gonna tell nobody. How many folks you know gonna say, well, you know what? I really ain't nothing. I need to get myself together. Ain't very many people gonna do that.
You're right. A few. Probably a few, rather.
Yes, sir.
Probably. Yes, sir. Probably a few. Well, Doctor, just let my listeners know also what projects. I know you told us about the things you have coming. Do you have any more concerts or different revival, anything coming up in the near present?
I'm going to be in Jackson, Alabama, mm-hmm. the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd in revival there in Jackson, Alabama. Me and my good friend Harvey Jr., we're doing a back-to-school gospel celebration on August the 7th there in Jackson, Alabama. That's when I'll be in that area, and we're just looking forward to seeing Jackson, Alabama. Yes, sir.
I got you.
And we'll be looking forward to seeing you. Hope you can come by. I know you're busy. Yeah. Hope that you can come by. I want your listening audience to know, be listening for the new single on Dr. Cheers and Songbirds. It's going to be called Dr. Cheers and the Songbirds Sing. And then sing the gospel. Because what we're singing is gospel music, guys.
Yes, sir.
They can call me traditional if they want to. Fine. I stay that way. I believe that I love the Lord and hear my cry is still good. I believe amazing grace is still good. You know, I know I got to let you all go and y'all going to let me go, but how many times, let's think about it, if you would survey 10 churches and ask them how many times have they heard amazing grace in their church in the last 5 years?
That would be a good survey, huh?
Survey 10 churches. And just see how many times have they heard Amazing Grace in the last 10 years? I mean, 5 years.
Okay, we have a caller coming in. So let's hear from that caller right now. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing there, Mr. C. Miller in the Rev? How y'all doing today?
We're doing the best we can. How you doing, Doctor?
I'm doing all right. You know, I just kind of, it's a wonderful show. It's a good show. C. Miller be putting on a good show each and every other week. I just want to comment on the question you guys, you know, what y'all was talking about a little bit earlier about these churches and you know, basically about the unity, you know, why that, you know, Christianity, you know, they don't get out and do the same things like you said, Jehovah's Witness and Mormons. Well, what I look at it is that the reason why they're not doing the same thing as Jehovah's Witness and Mormons and any other religion out there is one of the reasons because the unity is not there the way it's supposed to be. A lot of the other churches, they do what they say they're going to do, and they live what they say they're going to live, you know, toward their peoples, and their peoples believe in them. Therefore, they get out and they spread the gospel, spread the word, because when they need help, they can get help from them churches. See, a lot of the Christianity churches preach prosperity, preach that, you know, the more you give, the more you're going to have. And you got peoples in the church giving and giving, giving from their hearts. But yet, when something come about, they have something going on in their lives, and they need help from the church, they can't get that help a lot of the times. A lot of times you go to some of the big churches and say, I need help. They want you to put an application in just to get help. You know, but you've been paying your tithes. You've been paying your offerings. You've been getting your love offerings. You've been doing everything that you was told to do, you know, so you can get the prosperity and get the 100-folds. But when you need the help, you can't get it. So among Christianity, they look at that, and that unity is not there the way it's supposed to be. So, you know, you preach a good game, but you're not living it. And just like you said, Rev, you know, it's what you live. So if you live in it and people sin it, people want to follow. But if you're not leading by example, then, you know, it's hard to get the people to follow you.
My brother, I coincide with you 105%, not one. You're talking to a preacher that believe exactly what you're saying, Number one is this. The reason why, as you noticed my conversation earlier, I said, Jesus said, if any man should come after me, let him first deny himself. The church cannot be selfish. And therefore, the leader, nine times out of ten, is selfish, the reason why the church is selfish. You got to be willing to give. Now, you can check the record and stop by St. Paul, Missionary Baptist Church, 1393 Highway 309 South in Bahia, Mississippi. And then I just ask them. I ain't talking a good game. The proof is in the pudding. Just come by. Now, I can't talk for nobody else's church, but I'm talking about mine.
Come on.
And this is what I believe in. If I assess the chairperson of a program assess $20, then Reverend Cheers is going to give 40 or 50 because I believe you lead by an example. I ain't letting nobody leave my church hungry and starving.
Come on now.
No, I don't believe in that. And the Lord has blessed me with two buildings, and both of them worth over $1 million. So therefore, yes, giving is the most important thing, because if you look at John 3:16, there's one important word in John 3:16. And gentlemen, I'm gonna have to go, but I must leave this with you. It said, "For God so loved the world that He what? What was the verb? The verb was, He so loved the world that He what?
He gave His only begotten Son.
Right there. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave. That's an action. That's something that you don't talk about. That's something that you do.
That's right.
You got to give. Now watch this. Not only did He give Gave, but what? He gave everything. He said His only begotten Son.
Yes, He did.
So if we're going to be Christians, we got to practice the life that Christ said for us. Because we spoke Christian mean to be Christ-like, which means you got to be a follower.
Well, then do it mean that you have to start from, but don't that start from the head? Let's start from the head of the church, right? Let's start from the
You're not listening to me. That's exactly what I'm saying. It starts. You're the one that's leading the people. The preacher's the one leading the people. So if he's not doing it, what did I say earlier? If he's selfish, the church going to be selfish.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a preacher that has a problem with giving, then the church going to have a problem with giving. Also, even giving to him. That's the reason why the church is penny-handed to you. It's because you have an issue with giving yourself.
That's right.
Yes, sir. You got to use that verb. For God so loved the world that He gave. Okay.
Amen.
Now, and you all got me on the radio. Check the record. And then you'll see that I'm not just talking. Check the record.
All right.
That's all you got to do. Check the record.
I gave you the
address and all.
I hear you now. He represents.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that. You guys have a good day. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mr. Bonifie, thank you so much for calling in. It's my boy MBM. Y'all take a look.
Yes, sir.
Like it or not. Yes, sir. I thank you so much for calling in. And I ask my listening audience to also listen to his show. Sunday night, Mr. Bonifie, you still there? I think he's left. Okay.
There you go.
But anyway, I thank you so much, Dr. Andre Cheers, for being here with us. And I just thank you. And
I pray
that the Lord continue to bless your ministry. And we're going to be getting together because I want to hear more about your singing release, and also in Jackson, Alabama. I'm going to let the people know as well, and we'll stay in contact. And I will give you Sarah's number.
Brother Miller, we're going to stay in contact. We're going to be talking more and share with your brother that just called that all preachers ain't the same.
That's right. That's right.
Make sure you inform him of that. Yeah, you know, some folks, I would go to church, but man, those preachers, every preacher ain't the same. So now if you really don't find no excuse not to go to church, just find you a church, because there is some that's trying to do the right thing.
That's right, there are. And I know of another one.
Yes, sir.
Southview Worship Center, Hainesville, Alabama. You all come out, Pastor
yes,
Carl Bell. It'll be a blessing to you. And Reverend Cheers, I thank you for your time, sir. And we will be in contact. And all my listeners, I thank you for listening today. And I pray that what we've said, he said, has been a blessing to you. You know, you have to test the spirit by the spirit. You know, and
yes, sir.
You really do. And I thank you all again. Until next Thursday, God bless you. And we're going to leave out with one of your songs, Reverend Cheers, which is He Wrote.
Oh, yes, sir.
By the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, every man is going to die. But there's one thing for sure. If you die, you will stay in the grave. But Jesus himself defied the odds, and one day he